Welcome to our scripture study for the fourth Sunday of Lent. We begin by taking our Bibles and reading from the first book of Samuel, chapter 16, verses 1 to 2, 6 to 7, and 10 to 13. Please read this passage at this time. The prophet Samuel straddles the time between the end of the Judges and the beginning of the monarchy. While having the title Judges, they were not magistrates, but military leaders called by God to lead the 12 tribes of Israel, while having authority over one or another of the tribes, but never over the entire nation. As the territories around Israel were ruled by kings, the people demanded that a king be chosen to rule their land, which will happen even though God warned the people through the prophets of the consequences of choosing to listen to man over God. Saul was chosen as the first king of Israel, and while starting off promising, soon fell out of favor with God because of his sinful ways. The prophet Samuel was to be led by God to the one who was to rule as the people demanded. This calling is proclaimed in verse 1. We do not read today verses 2 to 5, which give the details of the sacrifice Samuel was to offer once the new king is anointed. The story picks up with Samuel traveling to Bethlehem, 5 miles south of Jerusalem. Verses 6 and 7 tell of Samuel's first thoughts that one of Jesse's sons, especially Eliab, certainly had the appearance of a king. But Samuel was told by God not to judge by outward appearances. We do not read verses 8 to 9, which tell of the judging of several other sons. Verse 10 begins with Samuel telling Jesse that none of the sons who have appeared before him have been chosen by God. And Samuel asked Jesse if there is another son he hasn't seen yet. We know that this ruddy, handsome youth is David, a name meaning beloved of God. David is anointed by Samuel, a blessing that sets one apart for service to God. Our second reading today comes from the letter to the Ephesians, chapter 5, verses 8 to 14. Though addressed to the Christian community in Ephesus, a city in Asia Minor, many scholars believe this is a circular letter, meant to be sent to many churches within a given area. The greeting to the area the letter was being sent to was intentionally left blank, with the carrier of the letter supplying the community's name. These circular letters, as they are called, usually do not address specific problems, as each community would be different. But these were more positive and encouraging in tone and style. Here, this letter asks the community to keep up the good work, as they are doing fine. Today's passage concludes with verse 14, which many scholars think was used as an early baptismal hymn, as it sings of breaking from the darkness of the sinful world and being the light of Christ that the world so desperately needs. Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Sometimes we are called to be a light, like a lightning bolt, sudden and majestic in appearance. But most of the time we are called to be like the stars of light, illuminating the darkness as we quietly spread the glow within us. Today's gospel reading comes from John chapter 9, verses 1 to 41. I will be reading the shortened form for this particular broadcast. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. He spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva, and smeared the clay on the man's eyes, and said to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So the man went and washed, and came back able to see. His neighbors and those who had seen him earlier as a beggar said, "Isn't this the one who used to sit and beg?" Some said, "It is," but others said, "No, it just looks like him." He said, "I am." They brought the one who was once blind to the Pharisees. Now Jesus had made clay and opened his eyes on a Sabbath. So then the Pharisees also asked him how he was able to see. He said to them, "He put clay on my eyes, and I washed, and now I can see." So some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, because he does not keep the Sabbath." But the others said, "How can a sinful man do such signs?" And there was a division among them. So they said to the blind man again, "What do you have to say about him since he opened your eyes?" He said, "He is a prophet." They answered and said to him, "You were born totally in sin, and you are trying to teach us?" Then they threw him out. When Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, he found him and said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered and said, "Who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he." The man said, "I do believe, Lord," and he worshipped him. If you have been paying attention, you may find it odd that in this year of Matthew, last week, this week, and next week, we will read from the Gospel of John. This is not because there is a lack of material in Matthew, but because of the rite of Christian initiation of adults. Those to be fully initiated into the faith through baptism, confirmation, and Eucharist at the Easter Vigil are to use the time of Lent to achieve an even more intimate knowledge of Christ. Their spirit is filled with Christ, the Redeemer, who is the living water, which we heard last week in the reading of the Samaritan woman at the well. Christ as the light of the world, this week in the passage of the man born blind, and next week, Christ as the resurrection and the life, with the story of the raising of Lazarus from the dead. It is interesting to note that even in year B, the year of Mark, and year C, the year of Luke, if catechumens, those to be fully initiated, are present, these readings from John are to be used. Otherwise, the normal Sunday readings from years B and C are read. A few minor points of interest in this well-known passage. The question in verse 2 of whose sin asked by the disciples is not a question of compassion as much as it seems to be one of theological curiosity. We hear in verse 6 that Jesus spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva, again illustrating how common materials can be used for a holy purpose. The man is told to go wash in the pool of Siloam, well known in Jerusalem as the reservoir built by King Hezekiah, that used an underground tunnel connected to an underground water supply, which could supply water to the city even in times of siege. Verse 16 is the charge of the Pharisees against Jesus. They do not deny the miracle, but they charge him with breaking the Sabbath. Ironically, the man is resting on this day, resting from his years of hardship of being blind. The phrase in verse 24, "Give God the praise," is our equivalent to "Do you swear the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?" The man born blind exhibits true growth in faith. He moves from identifying Jesus as a mere man in verse 11 to calling him a prophet in verse 17, then as one from God in verse 33, and finally in verse 38 addresses Jesus as Lord. This growth is in marked contrast to the reactions to the others in the passage, such as the parents who kept quiet, the neighbors who were skeptic, and the Pharisees who react with disbelief and prejudice that Jesus has upset the apple cart they have created from the faith for their own purposes. This is Deacon Mike reminding you to live the Word.